Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Big Dreams Travel Podcast. I'm your host, John Arthur, and this is episode number 10. And this is a final episode in a series of episodes where I am live at the Disneyland Resort in Southern California. It's been a little bit of a different series, but we hope it's given you a look at what you can expect while touring the parks and touring the Disneyland Resort. If you take a vacation here to Southern California, we do apologize if you're watching us on YouTube. This is not a video episode like the rest of our episodes typically are on the show. But we do thank you for listening and would love it if you would subscribe to our channel and click that notification bell here on YouTube so that you get notified when we make new content. And if you're listening to this podcast on your podcast platform, whatever that may be, we ask that you subscribe there. So just the same, you can know when we release a new episode. Well, that's it for the intro. Thanks for listening and thanks for being with us here on this series we've made from the Disneyland Resort. We hope you enjoy it. And let's get to talking about our final day in the parks at Disneyland. All right, we're on our final park day here from Disneyland. Thanks for listening to this series, and I hope it's given you a little more in-depth look at touring the parks and navigating the Disneyland Resort than just a normal podcast did. If it did, Mark, say so down in the comments. I'm certainly want to bring content here on the podcast that is helpful. But so for today, for our last full day, we did sleep in just a little bit, and our main goal of the morning was to again get scanned into the park so that we could start making lightning lanes for our last evening in the parks tonight. We did not press to get up and use the early entry hour, but we were all kind of up and around by about 7:30, and so we headed over to Disneyland Park, and we got through security very quickly. If you go to security just a little later at about 7:45, it's very easy to get in the downtown Disney entrance. Of course, you're missing some of the early entry time if you want to be doing those rides in Fantasyland or things like that, but we've already done those. And so we actually did those a couple nights ago, but if you've already done those, may be okay. But what we were able to do, and as we were kind of walking, we saw we were going to enter the park about 7:45, which we did. Of course, the park doesn't open till day guests, non-early entry folks, until 8. And one of the rides we wanted to ride today was Rise of the Resistance. It hasn't been a big priority for us on this trip because we've done it many, many times at Disney World. But we did want to ride it today. And so we saw at that point, well, hey, we can maybe make it back to Fantasyland and get by the gates there by Red Rose Tavern on the walkway that connects Fantasyland to Frontierland. We said, well, we can get there by 7:55 and get on back to Galaxy's Edge for Rise. And so that's what we did. We arrived back there at those gates. If you walk through the castle and just head left, people do start lining up right at 7:30 for that if they want to be right by the gate. Of course, this is only early entry people. And if you're at the front of that crowd, you will beat the people from the hub that are the general public that are not early entry folks. And so we were able, they opened that gate and let us in at about 7:59. We walked around to Galaxy's Edge, and as we rounded the corner into Galaxy's Edge, we could see the masses of people running from around Big Thunder Mountain back towards Galaxy's Edge, and so we just barely beat them as we rounded that corner. Some of them did catch us. We didn't run. We just walked as quickly as we could. Some of them did catch us, but not many, and we were able to walk straight up to the queue. Of course, they're going to form a line outside of the queue. And so you certainly want to, if you're an early entry person, come through that entrance from Fantasyland. If you're non-early entry, you want to go by Big Thunder and come up that way. You do not want to go around by Pirates, Haunted Mansion, Winnie the Pooh, that way, because the line to Rise of the Resistance forms towards the main area of Galaxy's Edge over towards Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. So if you come from the Haunted Mansion direction, you're going to have to walk past the entire line, and you'll just be chasing the end of the line the whole time. So that's definitely not the way to go. But we were on and off as an early entry guest. We were off the ride by 8:25, which is awesome. And that was the main thing we wanted to do that morning. We got a Ronto wrap after that. It was delicious as always. And then after that, we head over. The one ride we missed the other day because it shut down while we were in line was Autopia. And so we were able to do that. The boys enjoyed Autopia, although one of my sons, my older son, was driving by himself and his car kept shutting off. And so that was a little strange, but we had a good time. He got it back going again, pumping the gas a few times, and it was okay. My youngest son, then we went into the Star Traders, and he ended up wanting to build a lightsaber for his souvenir, and so he did that. We had a great experience with one of the cast members there who helped him. We did Buzz Lightyear. It was about a 5-minute wait. That was at about 9:30, so that was still very doable. And then we just spent about an hour shopping, looking for some souvenirs and those kind of things. Of course, at this point, I already had Lightning Lanes going on the app. I had one for Space Mountain. It has since turned into a multi-experience because Space Mountain shut down. So we do have a Space Mountain. But it can also be a multi-experience. And then I've also booked a Web Slingers. The boys want to do that this evening. So we do have a Web Slingers that we will continue to modify and get it into the right time slot later this afternoon. And I'm about 40 minutes away from making a third one. We're going to try to do Guardians. We're going to try to do Incredicoaster. Of course, Incredicoaster, the window stays pretty close to the time you're booking it on most days. So that one's not hard to get. And then we also want to grab, the boys want to do Matterhorn at some point tonight. So we will check in a little bit. All right, coming to you from Magic Kingdom. Check that. Coming to you here from Disneyland Park. We have been to DCA earlier. We did Lightning Lane on Web Slingers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Incredicoaster. We wanted a last ride on all of those and had great rides. And then we headed over here to Disneyland, and we had corn dogs. The world-famous corn dogs were delicious for dinner. We got some sweets from Jolly Holiday and took them with us to Oga's Cantina. We got a walk-in reservation to Oga's. The drinks at Oga's were excellent. And the boys especially loved them. They had the hyperdrives. I think one of them also had a Jabba Juice. I had a Jabba Juice. It was delicious. Probably my favorite drink. And then I also had a Black Spire Brew, which was pretty good as well. A little different flavor, but definitely was good. And then we just did Matterhorn with the Lightning Lane. So I had our last ride on Matterhorn. Rough as always, but fun. You know, as long as you can make it and not hurt yourself, Matterhorn's a fun one. So we're heading over to use a Space Lightning Lane, and then we'll let you know what else we get into as we finish our last night here in the parks. All right, I last left us after a ride at Matterhorn. We headed over to Space Mountain and had a good ride on that one. Such a different ride than Space Mountain in Florida, but we have really loved it on this trip. And then we walked across the hub, which is getting packed, crowded for fireworks, and took a last ride over here in Frontierland on Big Thunder Mountain. And I think that's going to be our last ride of the trip. It's about 8:45. I think we've had all the fun we can handle over 4 full days. I think we may shop a little bit in the Emporium on the way out and head back to the hotel. I'll probably check in one final time when we get back to the hotel. All right, so we are back here to the Disneyland Hotel, and it's about 10:30 at night now. I'll kind of update you. When I said Big Thunder was our last ride of the trip, I was correct. Everyone was kind of ready to go by that point. That's the benefit of being able to use Genie Plus on a trip. We did book it with our tickets for all 4 days. So having Genie Plus was super nice. It allowed us to ride everything we wanted and then re-ride some of the things that we certainly wanted to re-ride. When we finished Big Thunder at about 8:45, it was about a 30-minute or so walk to get back here to our hotel, the Disneyland Hotel. And once we got here, as we were walking, we were all a little hot. And so me and the boys went down and spent about 30 minutes closing the pool down as the pool closed at about 10 o'clock. And I will tell you, as crowded as this pool gets during the day, the times we were around at about from about 8 p.m. to 10 o'clock, which is when it closes, there was very, very few people here. Now, the slides did close at 8 p.m. while we were here on this trip. So the slides are closed. But the rest of the pool, very uncrowded. If you like to swim in the evenings, like we do often, that's a good thing to do. But we did that until 10 o'clock and then came back up and got the boys in bed. And I walked down here to Trader Sam's and got my wife and I a Dole Whip to finish the trip. Definitely one of the benefits of staying here at the Disneyland Hotel is being able to grab Dole Whip here at Trader Sam's. And that's going to do it here for our final day. We do fly home tomorrow. But just overall, we had a fantastic time at Disneyland. It was actually our first time for our full family to be here. And everyone loved it. You know, definitely as I was talking to my wife, it's different than Walt Disney World, a different vibe. Things kind of go at a different pace. Certainly the attractions, many of them are better. A few of them are not as good. There's some distinct positives about Disneyland. There's some distinct positives about Disney World. And so I think it's hard to say which one of the two Disney theme park locations in the United States is our favorite. We love them both. And we had a fantastic time here at Disneyland. We will certainly be back as a family. And again, the ease of using Genie Plus made things so easy. Did we need it every day of our trip? Probably not, in hindsight, but we actually paid less to have it added onto our tickets than we would have paid each day. I think with our tickets, it was about $20 a day to add it on. We would have paid $30 a day, which is what it was going for in the app if we would have booked it each day. So it's kind of like buy 2 days, we got a day free by pre-purchasing. So we were happy with that decision, and it allowed us to stack things. I will say the windows do not move out as fast as they do at Walt Disney World. There's not as many people using Genie Plus here, and the windows don't move out as fast. There were many times when I was booking our next one, and it was not near far enough if I was trying to stack them in the evening. But the good thing about the system is, as soon as I book that one, my 2-hour clock starts for when I can book another one. And I can go back and modify that original one to later in the day without my 2-hour window being touched. And so that's something we did a lot, especially our last couple of days where we were stacking fast passes. Went back in time there, stacking lightning lanes for the evening. So, do highly recommend that. Do you need it all 4 days? Probably not, but just look at what the cost is to add it to your ticket as opposed to if you did it daily. And sometimes it's just easier to add to the ticket. We didn't have to mess with it in the morning. As soon as we walked into the park that morning, we were able to book because the Genie Plus was attached to our ticket. It made it easier in that sense. And then the last thing I'll mention in summary is the benefits of the Disneyland Hotel. We had such a great time at the Disneyland Hotel. The early entry is a huge benefit. You're going to pay quite a bit more at the Disneyland Hotel than you will at other places, but that early entry is a big benefit. I'll tell you where the early entry is a benefit is we were able to do rides like Rise of the Resistance and Radiator Springs Racers in the morning because of early entry. At Radiator Springs in DCA, you can get right up to the entrance of the ride when they open the park, and so you can easily get ahead of all the people coming from the main area of the park. Not to mention, we were able to do two rides, Web Slingers and Mater's, before we even went to Radiator Springs, because it doesn't open until regular park open. And same thing over in Disneyland Park with Rise of the Resistance. It doesn't open until regular park open, but we were able to line up at that gate by Red Rose Tavern this morning, and we made it over to Rise. We were on and off the ride before 8:30. Again, and you know, that really, that saved us $100 today on Rise of the Resistance. Instead of booking an individual lightning lane for some time today, that saved us $100. Same thing on Radiator Springs Racers. I think it went for $20 a person, so it saved us $80. And so there is a little bit of savings there that comes into play financially by having access to early entry. So definitely a benefit of the Disneyland Hotel. I will say, if you're a Disney World person, there are some things about the Disneyland hotels, the three, that are very different than Florida. Some of the things that we were used to, the quick service dining is not quite as varied as you're going to find in Florida. You're not going to have access to food courts and those kind of things at your hotels, or eat. We even found Tangaroa, whereas the food was good. It was quite a bit more expensive than what we would find at a traditional quick service at Disney World. There are no refillable mugs, which is something we typically enjoy. We buy refillable mugs at Disney World, drink those kind of drinks, those sodas and things there at the resort, and drink water in the parks. You don't have that option at Disneyland. The other thing in the parks, you don't have refillable popcorn buckets, which my kids were very disappointed in. It's a minor thing, and again, just differences in Disney World and Disneyland, but some things to be aware of. So with that, I'm going to close it down here from the Disneyland Resort. Thanks so much for listening. I know this was a different series, but I hope it's beneficial to someone maybe traveling to the Disneyland Resort in the future. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. That's going to do it for this week's edition of the Travel Buzz Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you check out all of our shows each week, either on YouTube, at Big Dreams Travel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel, and make sure you click the notification bell so that you know when we post new episodes or videos. I'm John Arthur. Thanks for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful week and have fun planning those future dream vacations.